I'm going to approach this from a little bit different direction from everyone else today and speak about how the local health department is engaging in their different communication efforts. And this study specifically looked at the communication capacity during the outbreak of H1N1 and evaluated whether or not health departments engaging in public health practice-based research activated their communication better than those that weren't involved. And I'd like to acknowledge my partners in this project, Angela Derringer, Rick Ingram, and Alex Howard. And I have no relationships to disclose at this time. How many of you have heard of practice-based research networks for public health? Okay, so this is new to quite a few of you. Excellent. Well, in Kentucky, we have our public health practice-based research network we call KFRAN, and for the purpose of this presentation, I'll call it that for the rest of this time. But we're really lucky in our state to be a part of a network of networks, and our physician practice-based research network has been in place for a little over 20 years, and we now have 5 practice-based networks and different fields, and I've included the physician one, which is our primary care one, the dental, which is relatively new, which their acronym is actually CORN, and the pharmacy one, and the recent one on block is substance abuse, like as in this year they've started. But the hope of public health and practice-based research networks in general is that research will drive practice, so it'll go a little bit faster to the bench into actual practice, and that practice will ultimately drive what research we do in academia, and so that our local health department directors and those employees working in health departments will influence what we research on. And in public health in particular, there's been a lack of communication between practitioners and the researcher, and much of this is because money drives what we research, and in turn, a lack of evidence based in what practitioners actually use. We're funded by a grant from Robert Wood Johnson, and we're actually one of the first years of cohorts, and we're a pretty new baby on block as of 2008, and Robert Wood Johnson defines PBRNs for public health as organized groups of public health agencies engaged in ongoing collaboration with a public health research center to conduct rigorous applied studies defined to identify ways of improving the organization, financing, and delivery in real-world community settings. Some benefits of engaging in practice-based research include better communication between local health departments and their academic partners, providing a link between the local health department and their community partners because you're required to set up a network, and improving your essential public health service number 10, which is research for new insights and innovative solutions to health problems. And it's our ultimate hope as the public health accreditation standards roll out that those partners that are engaging in practice-based research may lean on their academic partners to achieve domain 10, which is building their evidence base. They are 12 current public health PBRNs, and the National Coordinating Center is at the University of Arkansas. And as you can see listed, we were part of the initial 2008 cohort, and there are 7 additional states that were added on board in 2009. And if you go to the website for this, you can see the other states that are affiliate members. And this is a list of all the counties that are involved in our KFRAN network that are highlighted in different colors. And even though Kentucky's a state of about 3 to 4 million, we have a lot of counties. There are 120 counties, and of our KFRAN network, 17 out of 54 local health departments are participating, and these represent 53 of our 120 Kentucky counties. And this is really how we think of our KFRAN structure. It's a network of networks. So the objective of this study is to evaluate the efforts of the local health department in Kentucky, including those that were members of our practice-based network, and communicating and disseminating information regarding H1N1 to healthcare professionals, and this included the hospitals, the daycares, the pharmacies, community organizations, and the public in general. And I'll address just a few of the questions today. The survey design looked at what the key aspects of response to the initial outbreak was and analyzed it using a bivariate analysis on whether or not they were KFRN members. And as part of our funding, we received a quick strike grant for a fast research proposal, like within 3 months, to get this research out as quickly as possible. So we used an online survey and invited all local health department directors in the state to participate in it and send out two email reminders. And the period of this survey being open was from August to October 2009. And this was really based off of a survey that Glenn Mays at the National Coordinating Center had provided to North Carolina. In North Carolina, they already have state accreditation in place, so he compared the study for those that were accredited versus who weren't. And the Homeland Security's Exercise and Evaluation Study Program, the CDC H1N1 Care Report Form, the RAND Facilitated Look-Back Protocol, and overall there were 64 questions. Our response rate, so 54 local health departments participated of 120. And 35 completed the questions I'll talk about today. So some of them got started, and I guess even those 64 were a little bit too long. But of those that were engaged in KFRN, 16 out of 17, so 94%. And our KFRN network and those that participated were very diverse in their characteristics. Some were single county, the vast majority. Some were district, and one was independent. And we only have two independent local health departments in the state. And so I'll go through the questions that specifically address the communications issues. And these first were not significant between KFRN and those local health departments that weren't engaged in KFRN. If the local agency held conference calls or briefings with local care professionals, healthcare facilities, and other organizations, if briefings or press conferences were held with media organizations, how frequently were Spanish language media outlets used? And it was interesting, there were much larger choices, but hardly anybody in the state was engaging this, and when there was a further question of whether or not they were even providing H1N1 material in another language, there I think was only one health department that was providing this. And our state isn't as diverse as many of the other states, but that's the Spanish-speaking population is the biggest growth sector right now, so it was interesting that no one was providing this or any other languages during this time. Did the local health department designate a public information officer? There wasn't much difference. However, if you look at these next questions, this actually was where there was a bit of a difference. And interestingly enough, those that weren't involved in the practice-based network were more likely to invite healthcare professionals, healthcare facilities, and other organizations to join statewide public health calls. Now, those that were part of the KFRN network were more likely to hold separate briefings or press conferences with media organizations. And then neither one were more likely to use media protocols for processing media inquiries regarding H1N1. And if plans are activating, enforcing quarantine isolation orders were in place, neither one was more likely to review it with public safety and law enforcement officials. Now, H1N1 was not as serious as we all thought it would be, but it did provide a good practice example for how we can improve our communication and our different capacity if there's ever another emergency. And these findings suggest that health departments involved in PBRNs may have a more complete and sophisticated response to outbreaks of infectious disease. They may be more likely to hold smaller meetings. However, there were quite a few deficits that existed across network, and in particular, those that didn't provide Spanish language media outlets or materials at all. Quick and timely response to infectious disease and communication is quite important, and it can lessen the impact and significantly improve the community health as a result. So in particular in our state, we need to start focusing more attention on it. And seeking to improve response to outbreaks of infectious disease, local health departments may want to learn from those PBRNs or consider joining PBRNs. And regardless of affiliation, departments should ensure that they're reaching all members of the community, even if they aren't speaking the majority language. All right. Thank you.